This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there and welcome to the 3rd of September edition 2023 of News West. Now on with the show.
It's a big week for WA Amateur Radio News. We've launched the Perth Tech Raffle, commenced taking registrations for Perth Tech and are running our annual general meeting in 2 weeks' time. We've advised those on our member list of our AGM, however, we're not limiting attendance to known members. We're inviting anyone interested in supporting WA Amateur Radio News, or if you're just curious, by turning up and listening to our AGM. I'm the president, and I promise to keep my president's report to less than 45 minutes. In fact, a lot less. 1 minute, more like it. We've chosen the Dome Restaurant in Maylands for the meeting. There will be light refreshments available, and afterwards you're welcome to stay and chat for as long as it takes. The Dome in Maylands is in the old Peninsula Hotel, directly opposite the Maylands train station. You can't miss it. It's a beautiful, heritage-listed, Federation-style pub. And because it's right on top of the train station, why not take a train there? You can ride the Midland or Airport trains to Maylands. There's an obligatory however to this deal, and the however is that you need to tell me that you're coming so that catering can be organised. We need to count all the chips into the bowl. Here's the gritty detail. The WA Amateur Radio News AGM is on Sunday the 17th of September at 1 p.m. Please go to vk6.net, that's our website, and follow the link, which is right on the front page, to register your name and email and your planned attendance in person, on Zoom, or an apology. Did you remember the website? It's vk6.net. And while you're there, look around. There's lots of good information there for you.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's September bulletin goes to air tomorrow. Experimental 10-metre transmission. The recent frequency change to 28.450 MHz for the 00 hours UTC broadcast to the eastern states has proved successful. Mike, VK8MA, who beams this transmission from Katherine in the Northern Territory, is considering beaming a 10-metre transmission to Western Australia while conditions on this band remain good. To assess this possibility, Mike will transmit to WA tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. WA local time on 28.450 MHz and asks all who can to please listen for this transmission and report his signals to him. Once again, that's tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. local on 28.450 MHz. If you can listen but can't transmit on 10 metres, you can email Mike at mikealsop@tbpl.com.au. I'll just spell that again. That's Mike India Kilo Echo dot Alpha Lima Sierra Oscar Papa Mike Alsop at tbpl Tango Bravo Papa Lima .com.au. Details of all other broadcast times can be found on the club website at www.raotc.org.au or by googling RAOTC broadcasts. Don't forget too that even if none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. If you do download the file, a brief feedback comment would be appreciated. This month, instead of the usual broadcast, we offer an interesting historical broadcast from 2001 by Alan Doble, VK3AMD, now Silent Key. The usual news and information will be broadcast next month. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. At 8 a.m. local time tomorrow, as well as the experimental transmission on 28.450 megs, There's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5. At 9 a.m, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz, with a repeat at 10 a.m. on 40 metres on 7088 kHz. Also at 10 a.m, there is a transmission via the News West linked repeater system. On Wednesday, September the 6th, we have a D-Star broadcast at 5:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C and will follow the D-Star news line. On Sunday, September the 10th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 160-metre and 40-metre broadcasts of the WIA news. The next lunchtime meeting for members and friends of the RAOTC is on Tuesday the 12th of December at the Woodbridge Hotel, 50 East Street, Guildford. We meet at 11:30 for midday lunch. An attractive, well-priced seniors menu is available, which can be viewed online. Everyone's welcome to join in and have an eyeball QSO. There's adequate car parking, but if coming by train, be sure to alight at Guildford East, repeat, Guildford East station. Full details are on the club website under the heading Luncheons. So once again, tune in tomorrow for the September broadcast. If possible, listen for the 28.450 megs transmission at 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks afterwards. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
Hi folks, it's raffle time again. This time it's Perth Tech Raffle, and the proceeds all go to making Perth Tech possible. We spend nothing of it on ourselves. The first prize is the Xiegu, I don't even know how you say that, X-I-E-G-U, perhaps someone can tell me, X6100 Portable SDR Transceiver. The second prize is the ICOM IC2730A Dual Band Remote Head Transceiver. That's a ripper, that one. And the third prize is the Yaesu FTM3100R 2-meter mobile transceiver. I believe it's got 60 watts output. So it's transceivers all the way for this year's raffles. We're calling on all Western Australian amateurs to support this raffle because it's all for you. The raffle is mentioned on the front page of the VK6.net website with a link to the purchase site. If you're not into buying online, I suggest you phone a friend. One thing's for sure, if you don't buy a ticket, you can't win. If perchance, for any reason, you don't participate in raffles, we'd be pleased to accept your donation towards Perth Tech. Thank you very much for supporting Perth Tech. The website again, vk6.net. Perth Tech is on the weekend of the 27th to the 29th of October. The 27th is Friday. And the main event, the day full of presentations, is on Saturday, the 28th of October. We have a brilliant lineup of presenters for you again this year, and we're very pleased to advise you that Phil Harmon, VK6APH, has offered to make the opening presentation at Perth Tech. Now, Phil's been involved with the design and development of software-defined radios almost ever since the beginning. So here we have Phil, a world authority on software-defined radios, and he's going to tell us about how software-defined radios work and some of the things they can do that your ordinary superheterodyne receivers can't do. So he's going to talk to us about where they are now and tell us about an alternative way to build an SDO that will probably perform better, cost less, blah, 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 all those things. It'll be fantastic. So don't miss out on what Phil's got to say. We'll talk to you about other presenters in coming weeks. Now, what else about Perth Tech? Well, you can have your caravan there or your camp. You can stay over on Friday night and Saturday night. There's a cost for that, of course, but it's just a pass-on cost. We give it to the people who run the site. And once again, you're going to have fantastic food on Saturday. You'll go home needing to go on a diet for a couple of weeks. It's got some good country hospitality cranked up for you. After the presentations are all over on Saturday, we've got the Sundowner. That's an extra cost because we trot out more food. And the bar will be open where you can buy your own drinks. So that's fantastic. So all the more reason to bring your caravan, so that you don't have to drive home. The location is the Gidgiganup Recreation Club. Some people think that's forever out in the country, but it's not far. In fact, it's closer to the CBD than some of those northern suburbs that you sit on the train for 45, 50 minutes to get to. Unfortunately, there's no public transport to Gidgee-Gannup, so you'll have to thumb a lift with a friend. Perhaps you could organise some ride share or car share or something like that. Gidgee-Gannup is about 20 kilometres up 2J Road from where it meets Roe Highway. So it's pretty easy to get to from the south and from the north, and not too hard to get to from the rest of Perth either. So all the details are on the vk6.net website. There is a Perth Tech page in there that contains most of the things you need to know and most of the new information that we put there. So check it regularly. VK6.net, easy to remember. And let's see you at Perth Tech. We had a good number last year. We've got room for a lot more than we had last year. We had a very good number. We were very happy last year, but we can cater for more. So don't think that you're going to be crowded out. We can cater for a lot more. We just need to know you're coming so we can feed you and put the chairs out and all those sorts of things. But Perth Tech is a fantastic day, and it's going to cost you $25 for the day. And as I said, the sundowner is extra. You have to pay if you're camping overnight, and the camping fees are pass-on costs. We're forking out a considerable sum of money to keep the bar open for you after Perth Tech closes and while the sundowner is on. So make sure you avail yourself of the bar. You can buy anything from a soft drink to something stiffer. And it's great company at Perth Tech. You have a fantastic time. So put it aside now. Saturday the 28th is the main deal. The whole weekend, if you're camping. Perth Tech. And again, the website, vk6.net. Don't forget it.
This is NewsWest from VK6 ARN. Produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, and this is another episode of Did You Know? A large portion of us are involved in at least one amateur radio organisation, even if that organisation is only a net. I think it'd be really interesting to look at the average age of a member of each organisation and compare notes. My gut feeling is that you'd see that the average age of being up in the 60s in many cases, if not more. Then look at how many school-age members each organisation has. That's a very low figure in all clubs I know of, with some clubs potentially having no school-age members. Now, if this were a squash club, we'd be in big trouble. Taking a sporting club as an example, though, they typically have a kids program and often will have a program of gradually integrating those kids into the adult competitions as they grow. I had a quick look at a squash club I was involved in about 20 years ago, which doesn't appear to be there anymore, but the last group photo I found was in 2019, just before the premises shut down, and I was pleasantly surprised to see many of the people I'd known then still there, but more importantly, a big mixture of ages. So what, you might say? We like the club as it is. If your organisation is ROTC, then I think you could be, by definition, forgiven for not having a kids program. But for the rest of us, what would having a focus on bringing school-age members into your club do for the club? Are you doing things in the club that make it not a place you want your kids around, or that your kids don't want to be involved in? It could just be a matter of starting a conversation about how you might make the club a place your kids or grandkids would like to spend time at. From my part, I started my ham journey while I was in high school up in Port Hedland. There were a handful of kids involved in CB radio at the time who enjoyed chasing DX, etc., but I was the only ham in my high school. I was encouraged a lot by other members of the club we started, and I still see some of them around the traps in Perth 40 plus years later. A couple of those people had a very big impact on my youth years, and one in particular had enough impact to, I suspect, make the difference between my getting grades good enough to embark on a career in radio electronics. 40 years ago, though, the world was a different place. We didn't have the internet. If you wanted to learn about another part of the world, you went to the library and read an encyclopedia, or if you were a ham, you could just ask someone who lived there. Many countries used radio to broadcast their point of view across HF shortwave broadcast stations. Amateur radio and CB were the medium for social media. CB in particular had a very similar feel to the internet of today, good and bad, so it was easier to attract people into the social aspects of radio, be it amateur or otherwise. Anyway, back on topic. What benefit would a club get from actively focusing on bringing in school-aged members into your club? from a selfish aspect, it would make it much easier to get permission to head down to the club if it were actually a family activity. Apart from that, though, I can tell you from personal experience that there's a lot of joy in sharing a hobby with your kids and grandkids. I have a 4-year-old grandson who is always playing with an old portable radio in my shack and has an antenna and microphone on his little go-kart. I hope to get him involved in the hobby more in a few years' time. His mum and the auntie he worships are both hams, so it should be easier to manage. What are some other benefits? If the average age of a club member continues to grow by around a year each year, the club will become less viable each year. Having younger members around the club will bring different perspectives to the club, and then there's the other thing, whereby the club is actually bigger and has more activities to choose from. And then I guess there's also something about having kids around that tend to make us all behave better, which is also very healthy for a club. How do we attract younger people to this hobby and our respective clubs? How do we compete with the internet is the most common complaint I hear, and not just from the amateur community, I might add. The fact is that 60 years ago, the hobby was very technical. You had to build your own radio before you could use it. 40 years ago, it was easier to buy a radio than build it, so the hobby migrated more to a communications hobby. Now the communication is actually easier on the internet than by radio, and information spreads between hams at the speed of light, so it's becoming much more technical than it was even in the 50s. In fact, there's more to do in the hobby today than there's ever been. It's just a lot of that activity is not necessarily involving chasing that last country to get on the DXCC honour roll. So how do we start this? It's pretty simple. Bring your kids and grandkids into the shack. Talk about some of the things that they might find interesting. I know with one of my kids, who's in her 30s, so probably not a kid anymore, has zero interest in talking to someone on the other side of the world, but actually enjoys being on FT8. I suspect a lot of the popularity of FT8 is because it's more like the internet. While us older members of our community get more joy out of a rag chew with someone in the USA, kids will get more joy out of building a fox hunting setup than using it, or get more into the technical aspects of the hobby. Keep an open mind and look for things that might interest them, even if it isn't your bag. Bring your kids and grandkids along to the club meetings. That'll throw a cat amongst the pigeons. Find a couple of like-minded members and start a little subgroup of youngsters. It's not that hard. Well, thanks for listening. This is Steve, AK6SJ, and you've been listening to Did You Know on the News West broadcast.
Next week, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia's QTC magazine will be published. QTC is an online magazine. It's available in a truly online format where you can flip the pages on the screen. And it's also available as a PDF download if that's the way you want to roll. There are some excellent items in there this month. And, of course, the recent ACMA announcements about amateur radio licensing has provided fodder for a couple of items and some comments in there about the way things are going. So it's all good stuff. It's current stuff and it's all free. Provided to you by the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. You can go to their website, vkradioamateurs.org, if you want to go straight to the magazine. It's QTC Mag. That's QTCMAG.com. It's pretty easy.
Since 1931, News West has provided amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Recently, I had the opportunity to use a piece of professional equipment to measure the so-called unwanted or spurious emissions that a transceiver might produce. In describing this, I finished off with the idea that you could use a $20 RTL-SDR dongle to do these measurements in your own shack. I did point out that you should use enough attenuation to prevent the white smoke from escaping from your dongle, but it left a question. How much attenuation is enough? An RTL-SDR dongle is a USB-powered device originally designed to act as a digital TV and FM radio receiver. It's normally fitted with an antenna plugged into a socket on the side. I'll refer to it more generically as a receiver, because much of what we're about to explore is applicable for other devices too. Using your transceiver, or transmitter, as a signal source isn't the same as tuning to a broadcast station, unless you move it some distance away, as in meters or even kilometers away. depending on how much power you're using at the time. Ideally, we want to connect the transmitter output directly to the receiver input, so, at least theoretically, the RF coming from the transmitter stays within the measuring setup between the two devices. Assuming you have a way to physically connect your transmitter to your receiver, we need to work out what power levels are supported by your receiver. For an RTL-SDR dongle, this is tricky to discover. I came across several documents that stated that the maximum power level was 10 dBm, or 0.01 watt. But that seemed a little high, since an S9 signal is minus 73 dBm. So I kept digging and discovered a thoughtful report published in August 2013 by Walter, Hotel Bravo 9 Alpha Juliet Golf. It's called Some Measurements on DVB-T Dongles with E4000 and R820T Tuners. There's plenty to learn from that report, but for our purposes today, we're interested in essentially two things: the weakest and the strongest signals that the receiver can accommodate. We're obviously interested in the maximum signal because out of the box our transmitter is likely to be much too strong for the receiver. We're going to need to reduce the power by a known amount using one or more connected RF attenuators. At the other end of the scale, the minimum signal is important because if we add too much attenuation, we might end up below the minimum detectable signal level of the receiver. Over the entire frequency range of the receivers tested in the report, the minimum varies by about 14 dB. So let's pick the highest minimum from the report to get started. That's minus 127 dBm. What that means is that any signal that's stronger than minus 127 dBm is probably going to be detectable by the receiver, and for some receivers, on some frequencies, you might be able to go as low as minus 141 dBm. At the other end of the scale, the report shows that the receiver range is about 60 dB, which means that the strongest signal that we can use is minus 67 dBm before various types of distortion start occurring. For comparison, that's four times the strength of an S9 signal. So, if we have a 10-watt transmitter, or 40 dBm, we need to bring that signal down to a maximum of minus 67 dBm. In other words, we need at least 107 dB of attenuation. And if we have a safety margin of 2, we'll need 110 dB of attenuation. Remember, double power means adding 3 dB. So, find 110 dB of attenuation. As it happens, if I connect most of my attenuators together, I could achieve that level of attenuation. But there's one further issue that we'll need to handle, and that's power. As you might recall, an attenuator has several attributes. The most obvious one is how much attenuation it brings to the party. It's specified in dB. My collection of attenuators range from 1 dB to 30 dB. Another attribute is the connector it comes with. I have both N-type and SMA connectors in my collection, so I'll need some adapters to connect them together. One less obvious and, at the cheap end of the scale, often undocumented aspect of an attenuator is its ability to handle power. Essentially, we're turning an RF signal into heat, so an attenuator needs to be able to dissipate that heat to handle what your transmitter is throwing at it. I said that from a safety perspective, I'd like to be able to handle 20 watts of power. Fortunately, we don't need all our attenuators to be able to handle 20 watts, just the first one directly connected to the transmitter. If we were to use a 20-watt, 30 dB attenuator, the signal through the attenuator is reduced to 0.02 watts, and the next attenuator in line only needs to be able to handle that power level, and so on. To get started, find about 110 dB of attenuation, make sure that it can handle 20 watts, and you can start playing. Before you start keying up your transmitter, how might you handle a range of different transmitters and power levels, and can you remove an attenuator when you test on a different frequency? On that last point, let me say, no, you cannot remove the attenuator when you're measuring a different frequency. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo Lima.
Good morning, listeners, and happy Father's Day to all the dads. It's Roy, VK6XV, with this week's helpline. for the 3rd of September 2023, Father's Day. And today I have the following for sale. An NGT Codan AR voice with cradle. It's a Codan NGT, has speaker, mic cradle, power cable and fuse cable, and has been shortened. GPS is also included. It's an AT International Multitech 9600 GPS unit with roof mount. And there is also an auto-tune 9350 auto-tune antenna. Coax and antenna control cable, which has also been shortened. A tow bar antenna mount, spring and stainless steel whip. The radio and microphone are in very good condition, apart from some of the cables being shortened. If you get the radio is all set up for Oztravel, and if need be, offer discount membership also. If you have anyone chasing a radio, this one's available, NGT and Envoys. And contact Colin, VK6 Charlie India. His phone number is 0417-097-043. His phone number is 0417-097-043. Next item comes from Wayne, VK6 November Whiskey. Has a Kenwood TS450 Sierra for sale. Excellent condition, asking $700 only. And you can phone Wayne for that Kenwood 450S. His phone number, that's VK6 November Whiskey. His phone number 0499-450-505. Again, 0499-450-505. Next item is from Gavin, VK6 Victor Kilo Sierra. He has a Yagi. He has a four-element Yagi, 10, 15, 20-metre dual-driven, 4-metre boom with a boom extension, an extra element brand new from Tet Emtron, asking $250 a lot. That's a four-element Yagi, 10, 15, 20 metres. Contact Gavin, VK6 Victor Kilo Sierra, 0428 388531 0428 388531. Next item is from Jesse, VK6 Juliet Quebec. He has a transceiver by Kenwood, a 480 hotel X-ray in immaculate condition, 200 watts PEP out, original box, manual, programming cable can be used with computer software, display radio. And we'll chuck in a USB pan adapter as well. We'll chuck in a no-elect Nest drive. I don't know what that means. But anyway, he'll throw that in. It's a pan adapter and ideal base radio, or can be used as a mobile rig as well. Has a manual for all of it and cables and microphone. On-air reports welcome. $1,100, including post anywhere in the VK land. That's $1,100, including postage. And cheers from Jesse, 0437-789-246. I'll say again, 0437-789-246. That's Jesse, VK6, Juliet, Quebec. That's almost it for the day, but just to remind you that if you have any items for next week, please contact me, roy.watkins@bigpond.com. And to let you know also, this is the 38th birthday of Helpline. Roy's Helpline, 38 years ago I started this. I'm still going. I think I'm still going. Yeah, poke, poke. Yeah, I'm still alive. And thanks for everyone. Happy Father's Day from VK6 X-Ray Victor. Cheers now.
Hi there. I'm Clinton, VK6 FCRC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident. Or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.